Lord, we just want to guard ourselves from becoming preoccupied with things that don't matter. We want to guard ourselves from celebrating with the wrong motivations, with the wrong focus. Lord, we thank you for the perfect gift that has been offered to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would all accept it and embrace your Son this morning, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story that I found so sad this week. It comes from the childhood of Charles Swindoll. You've heard of Chuck Swindoll? Great pastor, preacher. It's a story that happened to him when he was a kid at Christmas time. He says, "When I was a kid, I wanted a basketball so bad I could scream. I dropped all kinds of hints. I made false phone calls to my mother in another voice, telling her that her son really ought to have a basketball. I found the cheapest prices and I dropped those on the breakfast table. You know, all those things. And finally, there appeared under the Christmas tree a box, looked just the size of a basketball. Whew! I could just feel myself making shots with it. Christmas Day came, and I tore into that thing, and it was a world globe. Have you ever tried to dribble a world globe? I mean, you can't even inflate the dumb thing. Unbelievable surprise. Didn't look at all like what I expected. Isn't that a sad story? I almost wanted to write his parents. What's wrong with you? But he survived that childhood trauma, didn't he? He's a pastor and he's a preacher. So he survived. And maybe he didn't get the perfect gift that Christmas. This is a time of year when many people are looking to receive the perfect gift from that someone special in their life. Or it's a time of year where perhaps you're working very, very hard and shopping very, very hard to find that perfect gift for someone special in your life. It's about finding that perfect gift. Well, I want you to know this morning that when it comes to gift giving, God takes the prize. God has given the most perfect gift in all of history. A gift that is free and available to all of us for taking, for receiving, although it cost him everything. Very costly for him. I want us to consider that perfect gift this morning as we remember Christmas time. And I've taken you to a passage this morning that I think just gives us some neat information about the perfect gift that is available to us. Look at 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11 and 12. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Folks, the perfect gift is eternal life. The perfect gift that God has made available to all of us right now this morning is eternal life. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life." Now that's a pretty amazing gift, wouldn't you say? Eternal life. I mean, think of it this way. Perhaps you look under the Christmas tree and there's a present under there and it's got your name on it and it says to so-and-so from God. And you open the package, you open the box, and right there's a note that says, "You are a recipient of eternal life." Or there's a robe, and you put it on, and it says, "You're draped in eternal life." That's a pretty impressive gift. In fact, I think that's the type of gift that would be attractive to all kinds of people, even those who wouldn't claim to be Christians. Wow, eternal life? In fact, let's pretend that we have four podiums before us, or four platforms. And on each of the platforms, you have a gift. You have to choose one from the four, but you can receive it. There's a gift for you. On platform number one, there's a brand new shiny BMW. Platform number two, you have a beach house in Hawaii. Platform number three, this mountain of $100 bills. All that would be pretty cool to choose from, wouldn't you think? But then on platform number 4, eternal life. Eternal life. I would be willing to bet that even the most basis of human beings on planet Earth would be more intrigued with, boy, I want eternal life. That's the gift on the plate. That is the very gift that God Himself has offered. The gift of eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, let me tell you this. Eternal life is not a drink from the fountain of youth. This is not God's promise for a wrinkle-free life. It's not oil of Olay. Sorry. Many Christians have eternal life, but we still live in these bodies that get old and wrinkled. It's not that. Eternal life is not even to be seen as life unending. That's how many people think of eternal life. They think of it as eternity, life without end, existing always. And that's really not the gift that I'm speaking of, because the Bible teaches us that all of us will live forever. The Bible very clearly teaches that you will never, ever cease to exist. You will live forever. After this life, life goes on. It's not a matter of if you will live, it's a matter of where you will live, in the presence of God or outside the presence of God. That's not the gift it's speaking of here. What is it speaking then? What kind of eternal life does He give us? He is speaking of a higher quality of life, my friend, that comes through a relationship with God, your Maker. Eternal life is a spiritual life that is given to you at the very moment that you become born again, as Jesus described it. Eternal life is entering into a relationship with God, where you're on good terms with God. It's becoming a child of God, whereby you are rightly related to God. You have this relationship with God, and because of it, you've been born again. You're a brand new creation. You've been given spiritual life, a higher quality of life. You enjoy the presence of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the favor of God, the hope that comes with God, and you enjoy it right now, and you will enjoy it for all of eternity. That's eternal life. That's the gift. That's what's on the table. Once there was an old man who every day would take long walks with the Lord. And on these walks, he and the Lord God would talk about all kinds of things. About the important times in the old man's life when he met his wife, the birth of his children, special Christmases, etc. One day, while they were out walking for an especially long time, the Lord looked at the old man and said, "You know, we are closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come home with me?" And that's what he did. And that's eternal life. It's being at home with God. God with you. A relationship with Him that makes you brand new and that you can enjoy right now and will live and enjoy more fully in the next life. For all of eternity, that's eternal life. Think of the gift. Compare that to a fruitcake. Or a new car. Or a sweater. Or cash. Or a beach house in Hawaii. No comparison. The perfect gift is eternal life. Because it is a gift, by definition of a gift, it can only be received. And that's something we need to understand very clearly, and that's something that it teaches here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. In other words, He's offered it. He's made it available. It's a gift that you can only receive. And you see that throughout the Scripture in many different verses. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal life is a gift from God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life, eternal life, it's a gift. It comes by receiving the Savior, the Son, whom God gave. Something to receive. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, lest anyone should boast." See, eternal life cannot be bought by you. You can never get religious enough to earn eternal life. You can't be good enough. You can't do so many good works and get eternal life. Earn it, buy it, pay for it. Eternal life is not found in education or philosophy or science or good works or religion or even the church, folks. Eternal life is only found by receiving a free gift. Receiving the gift that God has given. Eternal life is not something we manage to hammer together. It is an unfathomable gift that can only be received. Have you received it? There are a number of people that have a hard time with that. What do you mean? I get saved by just receiving it? It's a gift? I just receive it? Come on, there must be some catch. There's no catch. You receive it. That's the definition of gift. Man, a gift is a gift because it's free and you receive it. What if you did find that perfect gift for that someone special in your life? I mean, you've looked all over. You've done some serious heavy-duty mall shopping. You're out and you found this perfect gift and you've wrapped it up. You've put it in a bow. There it is under the tree. And your friend or your wife or your spouse, there they are. They open the gift and they love it. It is the perfect gift and they just embrace it and they're so excited. And then they pull out their checkbook and they say, "How much do I owe you?" What would you say? Put your checkbook away. Don't offend me. I love you. This is my gift to you. Receive it. Same way with eternal life. It can only be received. How did God pull that off? How was God able to make this wonderful thing that we call eternal life available to us? What had to take place? What was the means by which he did it? Well, it tells us, again in verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Eternal life has been provided for us as a free gift because God has given his Son. Eternal life can be a gift to us through the Son of God who's been given. The Lord Jesus Christ. Embracing him, you're embracing eternal life. God gave his Son. God gave us his Son that we might be able to receive eternal life. Now you think about that, and here's where all the cost comes in. I mean, here's where you just see the sacrifice and the love of God so clearly. The salvation for us was so free, but for God, it cost everything. It cost a Son. God gave his Son. Eternal life is in his Son. How did God give his Son? Well, we're celebrating one way. At this time on Christmas, God gave his Son to this world by sending his Son into this world, being born as a baby. And I want you to think about that sacrifice. Think about that gift. It really was a selfless gift. Jesus, the Son of God, leaving his home, leaving glory, leaving heaven, choosing to strip himself of his divine prerogatives, to veil himself. God leaving heaven, taking upon himself human flesh, the flesh of a little baby? A baby. God has given a son. That's the wonder and that's the mystery of Christmas. I mean, every Christmas we come to the city of Bethlehem and we look in it and we find that stable, we find that barn, we find that cave. And then we look in the barn, we look in the cave, we look in the stable, we see those teenage couple. We see her struggling and in her pain as she gives birth. We hear the cry of a newborn, and then that newborn is placed in swaddling clothes and is laid in a manger. And we come and we look to that manger and we gasp, God as a baby. For unto you a son has been born, unto you a savior has been given. That sacrifice, that's God given his son. That's one way that he gave his son. And you think about how humble that was. I mean, really. I know we've romanticized it and we're all used to it. We know the Christmas story. But you think about the circumstance that Jesus was born into this world, born in a barn. And you know why he came in such a lowly way? This is God shouting from heaven, I want to relate with you. I want to relate with the human condition. I want to relate with the poor. I want to really feel humanity. I want to be Emmanuel, God with us. Let me experience your life as a baby. It's without a doubt one of the defining moments in all of history. The cry of that little baby in Bethlehem. It's what's brought us hope in this dark world. An artist once drew a picture of a winter twilight, the trees heavily laden with snow, and a dreary, dark house, lonely and desolate in the midst of the storm. It was a very sad picture. Then, with the quick stroke of a yellow crayon, he put a light in one window. The effect was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. The birth of Christ was just such a light in the dark world. He's our hope. A son has been given. The perfect gift has been wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Have you unwrapped it? Have you taken the baby? Have you taken Jesus and brought him? Have you invited him into your heart? But that's just one way that God gave his son. We know that God gave his son another way that's even more amazing to us. For you see, we know that little Jesus would grow up. You know, lots of people like to keep Jesus as the cute little baby in the manger. They don't want him to grow up. But he does grow up. In fact, I love the story about the 7-year-old boy looking at a nativity scene. It was on the front lawn at his church, and he saw it year after year, and finally he just got frustrated. He said, Mom, doesn't Jesus ever grow up? He does. Jesus does grow up. Did you know that? He reaches manhood. He reaches adulthood. And he teaches us some wonderful things about God. He teaches us some wonderful things about love and truth. And he does some wonderful miracles that you can read about on the pages of Scripture. But my friend, his primary mission for being born into this world was to die. In fact, you can hear it from his own mouth. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, born to die. How about that? The Son of God coming to planet Earth. Mission, die. He lived a perfect life. He was sinless. And he was butchered on a cross for things that he had not done. Bible says that he endured incredible suffering and pain on that cross. The Bible says that all of that physical pain that he suffered really couldn't compare to what he experienced spiritually. For the Bible says all the sins of the world were placed on him. All of my sins, all of your sins, past, present, future, every sin placed on the sinless one at the cross. And his body was broken and his blood was shed for our sins. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why? The Bible says we're all born as sinners. We all have sin in our hearts. We all do bad things. And our sin separates us from our holy God. The Bible says that because we are sinners, we deserve punishment. We deserve death. We deserve separation from God. But if our punishment could be paid for by another perfect one, sinless one, a substitute, then we could be forgiven. God gave his son to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Not just to be born as a baby, but also to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And the Bible teaches, my friend, if you will embrace Christ, if you will ask him to be your Savior, your sins will be forgiven, washed away. You'll be made a brand new creation. You'll be made born again. Your life will change. The perfect gift of eternal life is wrapped in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Have you unwrapped it? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? I want to talk about one more holiday that we celebrate every year. It's the holiday that we call Easter. Resurrection Sunday. The Bible does teach that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. But then the Bible also teaches that he didn't stay dead. He rose again. The Bible says on the third day, the tomb was empty. He rose again, defeating death. And that is a very important, significant event in history as well. Just as much as the birth. Jesus rising from the dead, it's proof positive that he defeated death once and for all. And it's also proof that God the Father accepted his sacrifice on the cross. His sacrifice was accepted. The way by which we could be forgiven of our sins was established and fixed. The perfect gift, my friend, is also wrapped in grave clothes. But those grave clothes came off. And he's alive today to be your Savior. You ask him to be your Savior. He'll come into your heart and he'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll make you brand new. And he will give you eternal life, something you can enjoy right now and will have for all of eternity. Eternal life, it's the perfect gift. It's a gift that can only be received. It comes through the Son. We see something else here that's very important. There is only one way to receive the gift. And that's through the Son. It's exclusive. It's closed. Look what it says in verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That can't be any clearer, can it? If you do not have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you do not have eternal life. If you have the Son, then you have eternal life. If you go to church a whole lot, but you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. If you're a very religious person, but you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. If you're a really nice guy and everybody likes you, but you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. If you have the Son, you have eternal life, and that's it. That's the way it is. And you see that throughout the Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate And difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see that? Narrow gate, narrow road, wide road. You're on one or the other. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." You receive Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. Do not receive Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God. Receive Jesus, you have eternal life. You are on the narrow road which leads to life. You become a child of God. Refuse Jesus, you do not have eternal life. You are on the broad road that is leading to destruction, and you are not a child of God. That's just how it is. That's where it's at. Have you chosen? Have you received the gift? Have you opened it? Some would say, man, it's too simple. I think life is more complex than that. And I think there's other things that have... No, look, it's logical, man. Hey, the Bible teaches that the problem with this world is sin. Can't you see it? I mean, just look around. The problem with this world is sin in the heart of man. That's the problem. That's the disease. That's the cancer. All these other religions say, work hard, be better. You just might get to heaven. Christianity says, quit working. What are you trying to do that for? You couldn't make it. And God sends his son to die for the sins of the world, to do the work for us, to get us saved, to make us born again, to make it available, eternal life. That's logical. That makes sense. Which road have you chosen? Have you opened the gift? And you know, you can't just partially unwrap it. You either unwrap it or you reject it. Pascal, one of the acknowledged masters of calculus in the 16th century, was asked why he believed in eternal salvation or eternal life. And his remarks were as follows. "Let's assume that I am wrong and there is no life hereafter. Then I have lost nothing. On the other hand, let's assume that I am right and there is life hereafter. Then I have gained everything." Makes sense, right? It only comes through the Son, and we must accept him. We must embrace him. The Bible teaches that you have to do that for yourself, individually and personally. Your mama can't make you a Christian. Your daddy can't make you a Christian. Your grandma can't make you a Christian. Your wife can't make you a Christian. Your husband can't make you a Christian. Your church can't make you a Christian. Your pastor can't make you a Christian. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. And the Bible says you have to go to him directly for yourself. Ask him to be your Savior. It has to be a personal reception of eternal life, a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ. You have to open up your own heart and invite him in. Because you see, he won't force his way in. He loves you, but he won't force his way in. And there has to come a time in your life where you bend the knee, you bow the head, and you invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Have you done that? And there is no place for neutrality on this question. There is none. William James says, when you have to make a choice and don't make it, that is in itself a choice. It is. That's true. You unwrap it or you reject it. And the Bible says it's always urgent. You have to receive the gift. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't wait. It's never too early to decide for Christ, but the time will come when it will be too late. Open your heart, embrace Him. And it is the most significant choice in all of life. Because it is the choice that determines your eternal destiny. It's interesting that on the top of a hill in a Midwestern state, there stands a courthouse, and it's situated in such a way that raindrops falling on one side of the roof will drip down and then travel by way of the Great Lakes into the Atlantic. While raindrops that land on the opposite side find their way through the Ohio and Mississippi to the Gulf. Just a breath of wind, one way or the other, determines whether a single raindrop will end up either in the Gulf or in the Atlantic. Even so, one single decision is enough to determine man's destiny. Have you opened the gift? Have you embraced Christ? I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do that for many of you, maybe for the first time. I want eternal life. Open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christian, let me speak to you guys just for a moment. Guys and gals, Christians. Let's not become so busy this Christmas that we forget about the perfect gift. Remember the perfect gift. Remember eternal life. Remember the giving of a son. And let everything about your holiday focus you towards that, right? I learned something interesting about art this week. There's a principle of art that in the composition of a picture, all the parts should be so arranged as to lead the eye inevitably to the central figure or feature. Whatever presents this is a capital defect. Accessories are only important as they help this end. Jesus is to be the central figure of your painting, of your Christmas, of your life, and everything about your life should draw eyes towards Him. Let the other people in your life know that Jesus is number one in your life. Not just on Christmas, but all throughout the year. And then for those of you, you're here this morning, you've shown up. I believe that it's not by any coincidence that God has brought you here. I believe God has brought every one of us here for a reason. And maybe you have never received the free gift of eternal life. I want you to just, man, I've got a present here. It's eternal life. It's wrapped in swaddling clothes. In the torn body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. In grave clothes that have been stripped off. Receive Him. Receive eternal life. Become born again. Enter into a higher quality of life, one like you've never dreamed. Let's bow our heads together and let's give us an opportunity. Father, I do pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit right now, you would just reveal to many people in this room right now their need for you. Very simple, right now. The gift of eternal life is available to you right now. And it comes through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own personal Lord and Savior and doing that for yourself. And right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive the gift. And I'm going to do it in a very simple way. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand. Raise it up very high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All of you. Anybody else? Nothing to be afraid of. Just, hey, raise up your hand. Raise it high. God will see that hand. I believe there's more here that need to raise their hand. Anybody else? For those of you that raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you still want to accept that gift, I want to lead you in a prayer in your heart right now. You go straight to Jesus, and in your heart, you say to Him, Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and becoming my Savior. I allow you right now to take over my life. Change me forever. Let's sing this together. Stand with me.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. All I have in you is more than enough.
Sing that one more time.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. More than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me. More than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. And all I have in you is more than enough. All I have in you is more than enough.
If you raised your hand to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's important to come forward. Share that with me. I'd like to pray with you. If anyone here needs more prayer or prayer about anything, I'd like you to come forward. And we'll minister with you and share with you and pray for you and with you. Christian, enjoy the perfect gift. You have eternal life. Enjoy it. And show it off to the rest of the world so they'll be attracted. The Lord bless you richly. Amen. Amen.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. All I have in you, more than enough. All I have in you, more than enough. All I have in you, more than
thank you.
says the story's straight. It's time to tell the truth. I never could have come so far if it were not for you. You covered up my sin. You covered up my silence. You covered up my shame. You made me new again. It's all because of you. Yeah. It's all.